Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get an immediate answer to your question or to discuss the issues in your life right now. The number 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC or the phone number 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and you are welcome. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There's this idea of living the good news of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? That's a very important question, and I think it's one that we don't ponder very often and really try to get some handles on as far as the practical outliving of the good news of Jesus Christ in day-to-day life. But here's a verse that's going to answer that particular question. It's 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So as Paul went about his business of proclaiming Christ, he did so compelled by the love of God. There was no other reason for him to endure the hardship, the pain, the suffering that he experienced. He poured himself out to death almost daily just for the sake of proclaiming Jesus, of introducing people to this new way of life that is available to them through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how are we to go about our lives as believers today in this exact same way, compelled by the love of Christ? Everything hinges on the love of Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He took away our sins. He forgave us once and for all. He declared us to be righteous. He gave us a new identity. He made us partakers of this new covenant. He gave us life, made us alive in Jesus Christ. All of these things are a demonstration of God's love. We have God's Spirit living in us, and one of the purposes of God's Spirit living in us is to give us a deep, heartfelt knowledge of the love of God, something that surpasses just mere intellect or understanding. It gets into the experience so that we can go about our lives being compelled by the love of Christ. The how to live this good news of Jesus Christ is this: compelled by the love of Christ.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this edition. Plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742. And the shorter version, 844-32-BASIC. Again, open lines, and the lines are yours right now. That's why we're on the air live every day, so you can be a part of the program and pose your question to Bob and Richard and get an answer immediately. So that's a pretty good feature, I think.
It is a great feature indeed, and I love how our listeners really engage with the broadcast and are very savvy to the subjects that we discuss. They think about them. They have opinions and biblical answers. For example, Steve from Stillwell, Kansas, wrote to us. He was listening to the broadcast last week when the subject of the lottery came up. Mm-hmm. And that's a big subject, especially when those Powerball numbers get up to half a billion. Who wouldn't want to win? Yeah. Who wouldn't want to win that? But it brings up all kinds of questions and all kinds of issues. And Steve wrote this: I always tell those who claim Jesus as Savior that if Jesus is not their prosperity, they will never be prosperous. So he's not talking about getting rich here. Right. He's not talking about financial prosperity. He's talking about relationship prosperity, the fact that we can know Jesus. And he goes on to clarify, no matter how much money they have, it is nothing compared to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus, who is eternal. Money is worthless compared to him. I also bring up the fact that money, drugs, alcohol, and fame have friends, and these friends are not your friends. Just a thought for you all. Keep up the proclamation of the gospel of grace in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, you are truly wealthy through him. I thought, what a wonderful comment and what great insight into this particular question. So, Steve, thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for being a part of Basic Gospel Nation and helping deliver this good news, helping us get the word out so that others can know the love of Christ and experience his life on a day-to-day basis.
And again, you can participate live right now at 844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Irvington, New Jersey, and talk to Dwight listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dwight.
How you doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. And y'all really blessing a lot of people. I think I have more proof of the rapture, and then that's in Revelation 7.
Okay. Tell us.
Okay. It first starts out that God gives us, he sends down four angels to protect the earth, and no calamity or storms or anything can happen at that time. And then he names the 144,000 witnesses. Their purpose is to witness to the world. There will be salvation in the time of tribulation. If you haven't taken the mark of the beast, you have a chance to receive salvation. Now, the big part that I look at that it says that. The next part is that there's a multitude of people that are sitting at the throne. I believe that's us. It's his raptured church. And you know, I'm just saying, who else could it be? And like I said, there will be salvation during the tribulation period. And, you know, he said we're clothed in white robes, and it's a number, a multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb of God. And also, the more proof you need reasoning is Revelation 3:10. It says, if you have believed on him and were obedient, you won't feel the wrath that God's about to lay on the world. And if you read like an 8, that's when all the seals and all the other stuff start happening. And we're gone, and we don't see that. That's why this is what I get out of that chapter 7 of Revelation.
Yeah. Well, Dwight, thank you for sharing. When I think of Revelation, I always go back to Romans chapter 5. For some reason, God has just impressed a deep connection between this particular passage in Romans and the message that the entire book of Revelation is giving to us. In Romans chapter 5, it is just such a powerful, powerful truth that we need to know, embrace, truly believe, and walk in victory as a result of it each and every day. And Paul simply shared this, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? That's Romans 5:9. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So the great truth about believers, those who have come to know Jesus Christ by faith, who are resting in his finished work, is that we have been justified by his blood, declared righteous. Therefore, we shall be saved from God's wrath through him. So all of those visions of God's wrath being poured out, we in Revelation, we know based on this passage in Romans 5 that we're going to be saved from that. That's not for us.
Yeah, but I also, you know, it also that's confirming Revelation 3:10.
Yeah, so we're saved. We're saved from the wrath, which means we are going to be
100%.
We're going to be with the Lord forever, and that is such great news, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's what I got out of Revelation 7, so that we're that multitude.
Well, we are that multitude right there at the throne
of that's why I'm
God
saying,
crying or singing praises to the Lamb. You're exactly right. So.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, Dwight, that's a good word today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, you hang on. Let me send you a copy of my book, Love Is. I would love to put that in your hands just for being a part of today's broadcast, okay?
Yeah, sir.
Yes, sir.
Can I make a quick comment on something else?
Well, quickly, we've got a full bank of calls.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, I'm going to be very quick about it. It's about who's going to handle the judgment. And in John 5:22-27, God says that Jesus is going to handle the judgment. And in 27, it says that he's given judgment over man. My point is that when people belittle Jesus, I just want them to tell them people that, hey, you're going to get a chance to meet Jesus, whether no matter who you are. So that's my quick point. It's John 5:22-27.
Yeah, that's a powerful statement, Dwight.
Yeah,
thanks for sharing.
Great that Dwight is digging into the Word of God.
Yes, indeed. Hey, you hang on, and we'll send you that book, okay, my friend?
Love Is and many other valuable resources are available from our online store, and you'll find them at store.basicgospel.net.
Let's go back to, we're going to Brooklyn, New York, and let's talk with Eugene listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, grace and peace and abundance to you, brothers. How are you feeling today?
Well, we're doing just wonderful, and I hope you are doing that way as well.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good. I just wanted to, I want to get two questions, and I'll take them off the air. First question is, the Christians that were martyred over the weekend, I believe it was 21 Christians that were martyred over the weekend, do they fall under the same blessing as the blessing is for the Christians that were martyred, that they did not give up their testimony in the book of Revelation in the last days, in the tribulation time? Are these Christians that's martyred today, do they fall under that same blessing? Because it says these Christians are blessed that did not give up their testimony in Revelation.
Yeah, I think Revelation. Well, go ahead and ask the second question then.
Okay, the second part of the question is, I know you heard of the saying from Paul, absent in the body is present with the Lord. Okay, so my thing is, and then in Thessalonians, Paul had to explain to the Thessalonians about what's going to happen. That first the dead are going to be rosen up into the clouds when the trumpet blasts, then we will go up into the clouds to meet the Lord. So my question is, when we die now, are we in a sleeping state until Christ's return, or are we present with Christ? It's like a two-part question, so I'll take it off there, okay? Thank you. God bless you.
Well, thanks, Eugene, and those are excellent questions. We all want to know what happens to us when we die.
Yeah.
That's basically what Eugene is saying there. But the other one about those 21 Coptic Christians mm-hmm. that were beheaded over the weekend, what about them as it relates to this passage in Revelation?
I think that passage in Revelation is fairly clear that anyone in the history of our world who has been martyred, who has died for the cause of Jesus Christ, is included in that scene where you see these beings under the throne, under the altar, saying, "How long, O Lord, how long until you fix this?" And he tells them, "Be patient. You're mine. You're safe. Be patient. I'm going to finish this." And then you see that how it works out throughout the rest of the book. So anyone who is truly a saved child of God who is martyred is truly absent from their body and present with the Lord. And that feeds right into the next question. What is the difference between absent from the body and present with the Lord and the resurrection? Well, the resurrection is when we get new bodies. So ignore the time frame issue, because that just makes it very confusing, because God's in eternity and I'm not. We are, our spirit and soul go back to God, but he didn't create us to be disembodied spirits. He created us to have bodies, and he's going to give new bodies back to those who have died in Christ, and he's going to give new bodies to those of us who are alive in Christ when he returns.
Yeah,
everybody gets a new body.
We're a whole, a spirit, a soul, and a body.
Yes.
And that's what God is restoring or in salvation. He's rescued the whole of man.
Yes.
Not just the spirit. He's saved us all three parts.
Yes.
And that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Interesting comment about the martyrs, and they're under the throne, and they're saying, how long? That's a question we're all asking today, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
As we look out on the landscape of this world and see the evil atrocities that are happening daily. I mean, not only in the Middle East and those countries of conflict, but we're seeing atrocities happen right here in the United States.
Yes.
And in Europe and just everywhere. And I think we as Christians are all groaning deep within, how long is this going to last?
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that fuels kind of the prophecy discussions.
Yes,
and
it does.
Questions. So how long, Richard, how long is this going to last?
Yeah, Richard. Not very long.
Yeah.
It's imminent.
Yes.
Jesus is coming back. Rest in that fact. Don't try to figure out anything more than that, because that is our hope. It's guaranteed.
Yes.
Never have to worry.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to talk with Max, who's listening to us in Bud Lake, New Jersey. Hi, Max.
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you today, my friend?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Yes, doing well. What's on your mind?
I just had a question. It's regarding when Jesus said, if you
Max, could we get you to turn your radio down in the background? We're getting some feedback there. That'll help us keep everything clear. Thank you.
Okay. When he said, if you don't deny yourself, you cannot follow me. Now, what he really meant by that, I'm just struggling with that. Does that mean that you have to abandon everything? Or was it meant literally? Or was it concerning about killing our flesh?
Well, Max, that's a very good question. You know, to the rich young ruler who asked the question, you know, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus listed out a few commandments, and the ruler or the rich guy said, well, I have kept all of those. And then Jesus looked at him and said, well, take all that you have and sell and then come and follow me. And the guy's identity was wrapped up in his wealth and his possession. Those were the things that defined him.
Yes.
And he was unable to let go of those things because he was fearful of giving up that identity. And when you're fearful of giving up a worldly identity, that you love that so much, that you hold on to it, that you're unwilling to let go to follow Jesus, then you're in serious trouble. So I think when you read through the gospel messages, what Jesus is really saying to us is, what defines you as a human being? Where do you derive your identity? Are you willing to let go of that dependence, let go of that identity, and take hold of this new identity that's available to you through faith in me? That's what Jesus is saying to us. And it could be fame, it could be fortune, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be sex, it could be a whole myriad of things. But if we love those so much that we're unwilling to let go of it, then we're in serious trouble.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Max?
You made it very good. Yes, very much so.
Okay. And then when we see in letters like Colossians and Ephesians, we see this kind of directive for us to put off the old and put on the new. So we come to Jesus and we say, "I'm coming with empty hands. I'm just totally yours. I surrender to you. Whatever you have for me, that's what I want. That's kind of the attitude. That's the repentance that's coming to faith in Jesus Christ, putting your full weight of trust on him. Well, that happens. We're born again of the Spirit. We're made alive in Christ. We have a new identity. We're new covenant believers. But we still have those old attitudes of that old person. And so that takes the renewing of the mind. And that renewing of the mind is kind of a letting go of the old and taking hold of the new. And it's a process. It's a day-by-day process that's maturing in the faith.
Okay. Now, I have another question, which is a little bit, it's a different topic, but I don't know if I can ask that question. It's regarding tithes and offering, like between the Old and the New Testament.
Well, Max, I think the important thing with that is to understand that we're new covenant believers. We're not in the old covenant, and that law of tithing, so to speak, was an old covenant mandate. It was basically a taxation on the people, the 11 tribes, to support the Levitical priesthood and to provide what was necessary for the sacrificial system. Well, we're not under that covenant anymore. We're under the new covenant, and we are compelled by the love of Christ, and under that compulsion, we are to excel in the grace of giving. So it's an internal impulse that guides us as far as our giving is concerned in this new covenant. And if you'll just follow the lead of God's Spirit and give accordingly, I think you will be joyful and experience the greatest sense of reward, knowing that your gifts are being used to advance the kingdom of God. We have some information on that, Max. Let me put you on hold, and I'll send you a copy of this CD on New Covenant Giving. Okay, my friend?
All right. Thank you so much. You are very helpful. I wish everybody would get everything the way you just explained it to me.
No.
I mean, how come people cannot get it? They just, I don't know. But that was very helpful.
Well, thanks, Max.
Thank
we appreciate that. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you that information. Well, let's go quickly to Louise in Brooklyn. Hi, Louise.
Hi. Well, I didn't think I'd ever get – I'm trying to get through to you for about 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, you're on the air, and
yeah.
We've just
well,
got
I
a couple –
I want to ask you a question is about King David. They always say that he was a man after God's own heart, but yet he, as I read it, he kind of, you know, goofed up a lot.
Well, he not only goofed up, he just outright sinned. I mean,
well,
he lied, he committed adultery, he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed on the battle lines. But what made him a man after God's own heart is he knew that he had nothing to offer God to pay for those sins. And so he trusted fully in the grace and mercy that only God could extend to him. And that's what made him a man after God's own heart. And so he walked in assurance that God had counted his sins no more, had taken them away. And that's what he trusted in. And that's, I think, a great example for all of us, Louise, that
yes.
God wants us to fully trust the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're all going to mess up, aren't we?
Yes.
But when we mess up, we know that Jesus has more than taken care of it through his shed blood on the cross, that he still loves us, and that he is going to lead us and guide us by his Holy Spirit. Well, Louise, thanks for your question. We certainly appreciate it. We're out of time on today's broadcast.
Yes, we are. I want to remind our listeners, of course, that we are here every day proclaiming the truth of God and his word, the new covenant, and we want you to hear, believe, and live this message. It is the message of all time. We will also be at Vacaville, California, proclaiming that message on March 7th. Hope you'll be a part of it. All the information available online at basicgospel.net or by calling our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.